2015, I started doing something that I did not realize was going to become a habit. And here I am, nearly 10 years later, saying it has been one of the most powerful habits that I have ever created. And honestly, the habit only takes about 5 to 15 minutes every single day. And the results and the rewards that have come from having that habit are absolutely giving me far more than 5 to 10, 15 minutes of joy, of optimism, of ideas, of a positive mindset. So what if I told you that you could add this exact same routine into your life for this upcoming year, and you could get the same rewards, the same results, and the same benefits? I have to tell you, it's super simple. About 10 years ago, I started reading one book per month. And I admittedly was not an avid reader. I always wanted to be a reader, but I could never find the books that could keep me hooked. I could never find books that I actually got lost in, and I found myself wanting to read more, wanting to move on to the next chapter. Until I just got very realistic about the fact that I was pigeonholing myself in the wrong books. And also, having a goal of reading multiple books a month was just not realistic for me. So back in 2015, I made the active decision to read one book per month. And I gave myself permission that the books didn't have to be about teaching. They didn't have to be the New York Times bestseller books. They didn't have to be the trending books that end up getting made into movies. I could read the books that were interesting to me. And the only thing that I had to do was read one per month and then find little ways that those books could positively impact my life. And so when I started doing this podcast a few years ago, I decided that at the end of every calendar year, I was going to share just a handful of my favorite books from the year. And that's what we're going to do in this episode. I want to tell you about four books that absolutely were my favorites for this year and give you very specific reasons on why. Because I believe in the power of transformation and I believe in the power of information. If it helped me, I think it can help you because I genuinely want you to have an amazing year. So I'm going to share the titles of the books. I'm going to share the authors of the books. I'm going to share some of my favorite quotes, some of my favorite takeaways. And then you, listener, you friend who is here listening to this teacher life can take those exact same things and apply them in where your heart and head lead. I'm jazzed about this episode, so let's get into it. There is awesome in every single school day. So here is the big question. How can teachers like us who love our job, love our students, and love being a part of education celebrate awesome even more in our classrooms and learning communities? Where can we find teaching tips and tricks? Where can we find engaging stories and motivational strategies? That is the question, and this weekly podcast is your answer. So welcome to all my teacher friends. My name is Monica Genta, and I am so excited that you are here listening to this podcast, This Teacher Life. So each year, I read exactly 12 books, no more, no less. And in this episode, I am going to give you my top three favorites plus a bonus. So if I am telling you about the top three, not only did they make it on the list of these are 12 that I wanted to pursue, but the top three, dang, that's pretty good. And the first one I want to tell you about, I actually read in October. of this year. And it was a book unlike anything that I had ever read because it was just a kind of a compilation of random thoughts. It was a compilation of things that the author had learned over an extended period of time. And it was almost like tweets or tiny social media posts that was a compilation disc. It was essentially like a mixtape or a burnt CD, but in the form of a book. And within the very first chapter, I was blown away. Like, a quote hit me like a ton of bricks because it says, a year from now, you will wish you had started today. So start today, because time goes away and leaves us with only one of two things, regret or results. Because you are what you do, not what you say you'll do. I was like, oh, damn. That's true. Like, as a classroom teacher, doesn't that hit? Because I think one of the constant frustrations that I have from students is they're like, yeah, I'm going to work on that. Yeah, I'll do that. Yes, I can improve on that. And they're saying they're going to do something, but then they don't actually do it. You are what you do, not what you say you'll do. So maybe that's a good thing to think about as we come into another year. What are you saying you're going to do versus what you're going to actually do? Because another thing that the author talks about is if you're not authentic, you're going to struggle to be consistent. I think one of the biggest issues that maybe we experience as a society, and maybe especially as teachers, is we want to be our authentic selves. We want to be what's best for kids, but being in a classroom, especially sometimes with curriculum, it's a struggle to be consistent. So how are we going to make sure that we are absolutely being the best possible people that we can be? Because if we choose to do things with consistency, I do think that change can occur. And so as the book continued, there was a lot of different sections. There was like sections about awareness, there were sections about money, relationships, and there were just so many good things that it was just like quote bomb after quote bomb. And if you're a quote bomb kind of person, then I think that you will absolutely like it. Because I think there was another statement that was made in the relationship facts section that was about what we allow for ourselves. And we invite what we allow. In other words, how we treat others is actually a direct reflection of how we treat ourselves. Because when we're feeling upset with somebody, we go have a conversation with them. And then the author talks about when you're feeling upset with yourself, do you go talk to yourself? Because so many of the problems in our lives can be remedied with a little bit of self-reflection. And that's true. Like, he makes a really good point. If you're upset with somebody, you go and talk to them. If we're upset with a student, we have a conversation with them. If we're upset with our principal, hopefully we're having proactive conversations with our principal. When you're upset with yourself, are you getting into the habit of saying, I need to talk to myself. I need to have some inner dialogue. I need to have some inner reflection. That is amazing. P.S. Do you know what the name of this book is? I've not even shared it yet. You're probably on the edge of your seats. That's called A Good Cliffhanger. The book of the month that I read in October is called Do Epic Shit. Isn't that the most amazing title for the book? I know that we are not supposed to judge books by its cover or judge books by its title, but we do. We do. And when I saw a book called Do Epic Shit, I'm like, yes, I am all in. And the book did not disappoint, which is why it is on the list of one of the top three best books that I read this year. The second book that absolutely deserves a spot on this list for this year is actually by one of my favorite authors. And I very much appreciate that this author is coming out with new books every 1 to 2 years. And I read this book in July. I read it on vacation. And I do think that books that I read during vacation are very specific, because when I'm on vacation, I want a thinker. I want something that I can read a chapter and then reflect on the airplane, or read a chapter and reflect while I am at the ocean. And John Acuff did not disappoint, because he wrote a book called All It Takes Is a Goal. And this was a perfect book for me to reflect on while I was on vacation, because so much of it was about your own goal setting, how you set goals, why we set goals, some patterns and some consistencies that we can have when creating these goals. And I geeked out on this book. And I loved one of the quotes that he had in the beginning that says, "You are guaranteed to win a game when you make the rules." Now, I think if we take a step back, especially as teachers, when we hear that you are guaranteed to win a game, especially when you make the rules, that instantly causes me to think about elementary students who are constantly cheating at games. And they're like, "Well, I changed the rules because now I win." Or like, "Oh, I actually want to change something because that will help me to do better in this activity." And you're like, "You're cheating. You're making stuff up." I want to applaud kids for doing that, because we don't do that as humans enough. We don't do that as adults enough. You win when you make the rules to your own game. And I often see life as a game. And so we get to make the rules to the game. He later goes on in the book and says, "First, dream about the win, then decide the work. Because the faster we win the game, the quicker we'll commit to the work. And the more often we win, the more often we'll try." I believe that to be true. Like, I want to stack my wins. I want to create multiple habits. I want to create so much momentum. And the faster we start to see these little wins, the quicker we're going to say like, "Oh, I want to put in more work." Because the more often we're winning, the more often we're trying. And that is something that I think we have to do a better job conveying to our students. Because I think sometimes our kids quit in a really quick fashion. John Acuff talks about how success is in the seconds, because minutes matter. And we know that's true as teachers. We have limited minutes with kids each day, and we have limited days with students every single year. So if we can get kids quickly succeeding in the seconds, showing that every minute matters, showing that every moment matters, we're going to see more wins from our students. And so as I was reading through this, I was just consistently blown away by how goal setting and habit stacking and prioritizing positivity can absolutely make or break a goal. One of the final things that he said at the end of the book is, "The past is a gift that will inform your present and prepare your future." I know that so many of us are at a point in the calendar year and even the academic year where we are preparing for the future. We are looking ahead saying, "Okay, it's a new opportunity. It's a new chance to do better, to be better, to achieve better." So all it takes is a goal. John Acuff did a great job of walking through that process with readers. And so much of the time I found myself writing in the columns of the book near the spine and just kind of doing a brain dump, because I really want to make sure that at the end of every single year that I have been incredibly intentional about my dream matching my daily routine. And so that made the list. Now, I got two other books that I want to talk to you about. And before I get to one of my favorite books that I read for the entire year, I actually want to tell you about the bonus book. Because I understand that people are coming to this episode with different emotions. Some of you are listening to this and you're feeling very relaxed, maybe because you're on break. Some of you are listening to this in a panic because maybe you're going back to work here very, very soon. And you're like, I'm stressed out. I'm freaking out. I want things to be good right now. I want things to be positive right now. And you're just sort of feeling like you're going through the motions. Well, I actually have a book for that. I wrote something a few years ago that was never intended to be a book. And then during the pandemic, I realized that I do need to release this to the public because I think that it can just positively impact people on so many life levels. And that book is called 365 Days of Awesome. This book is all about making sure that you are taking 2 to 3 minutes a day and prioritizing something positive, that you are reading it at the beginning of the day, maybe on your lunch break in the middle of the day, or maybe right before you go to bed each day. Can you build in a routine where you are finding something to celebrate? Because 365 Days of Awesome, the book is all about saying that every single day of this year matters. Every single day of this year deserves to be celebrated. 365 Days of Awesome isn't this just kitschy thing. Do I think it's a great title for a book? Hell yeah, I do, okay? I say that with a lot of humility in my heart. But it's not just an attention getter. It's not just a hook for a book. It's something that on a life level, on a just philosophy level, I truly believe in. I think that every single day there are tiny things that we miss. And those things that we miss matter. So can we put little awesome moments under a microscope for this calendar year and make a promise in our pledge to ourselves that we're gonna celebrate them? Sometimes we just need a catalyst. Sometimes we just need a trigger to remind ourselves. And I think that the book 365 Days of Awesome could be the thing that changes everything for your mindset and for your mentality for this upcoming year. And the good news is you can get a copy right now and have that in your hands super fast. You can actually go to monicagenta.com/365. I'll also put a direct link in the show notes so you can check that out, but it's available on my website, or hell, shoot me a message and be like, girl, I gotta get my hands on a copy of 365 Days of Awesome, and I can send you the link, no problem whatsoever. But I do think that 365 Days of Awesome is absolutely a chance for you to have your best year yet. That's not cliche. That's not some bullshit to get you to go buy a book. I truly mean in my heart and head that I want that for you this year. And I think it's worth checking out if this podcast episode is resonating with you. And this brings us to the final book that I want to share with you. I had a lot of interesting reads this year because I told you that the book Do Epic Shit was unlike any book that I have ever read. And the last one that I want to share with you is also like any other book that I have ever read, because it was actually a compilation of journal articles from the Harvard Business Press, which sounds so bougie and so sterile and so collegiate, but it was so freaking good. I actually picked this up at an airport because I was kind of in a reading rut. And this book I read in November. And the reason why I say I was in a reading rut, because I had picked up so many books throughout the year. It was like dud, dud, dud. And I'm like, I need something. Because this routine, I've kind of developed a relationship with this routine. I have used reading a book each month to give me motivation more than what I thought I realized, honestly, that I was getting from this. And so when I kept reading so many bad books this past year, I needed something. And I was in an airport kind of perusing, and I saw this book by the Harvard Business Press, which was just a compilation of journal articles. And the title of it was Resilience. I'm like, I need some of that. I used to think that I was really, really resilient. And for whatever reason, I hit this year and, you know, I hit the age of 38. And I'm like, I don't know if I'm as resilient as what I used to be. Is it because I'm getting older? Is it because I'm getting tired? Is it because things are just getting I don't know, unaligned, maybe personally and professionally. I wasn't really sure, but I was like, I want to read this book called Resilience. And then holy shit, it was so good. I want to share one of the quotes from you that just felt like a focus quote for me. It says, "More than education, more than experience, more than training, a person's level of resilience will determine who succeeds and who fails the most." And I read that and I'm like, that feels like a heavy loaded statement. And then as I continued in the book, I was like, I actually think I believe in that. I think the reason why it left me initially a little salty is because of the term "more than education." As an educator, I'm like, that's one of the most important things to me. It's one of the most important factors in my own life. I have learned so much. I have grown so much because of education, both as a student and now as a teacher. And so I was like, truly, does resilience matter more than education and experience and training? And as the data presented itself in this book, I was like, maybe that is true. I also had this really interesting self-realization as I was reading the book Resilience. And full transparency, I don't even really want to talk about this, but I wonder if you can relate. If you can relate to this, reach out to me on social media. And you're going to hear the irony in that in a second, because I'm asking you to reach out to me on social media if you can relate to this. Because a quote in the book was, "If your news feed skews positive, so will you." And I think one of the biggest reasons why I'm not as resilient as what I used to be is because of social media. And it's not even because of the amount of time I spend on it. I create a lot of content for teachers. I put a lot of myself out there because I genuinely want other people to learn and grow from my experiences. And that's important to me to share with you guys. But what I have found in the past year is that I don't have as thick of skin as what I thought. Social media is a highly controversial place. But I think social media can also be an incredibly encouraging place. But I think it all determines how much you're on it and also who you follow. And so it says, if your news feed skews positive, so will you. And something that I've had to do to become more resilient is like block, drop, unfollow, block, hide, mute, things like that on social media. But another part of this is that I want to follow more amazing people. I want to encourage more amazing people. I want to make sure that I am subscribing and commenting and using that algorithm to be surrounded by more positive people, because everyone benefits when we are better at communicating. And we can extract value from each other. But I do think there's balance. And I think that we need to learn and grow and be accepted as we present ourselves on social media. And I don't know if that helps you, but if you are feeling like you're just not as resilient, you're like you're not having the mental clarity and the mental or emotional stability that you once had, is it maybe linked to social media? Because I'm not saying that we shouldn't be around people who disagree with us. That's not what I'm saying at all. I'm not saying that we just have to silence everyone who has different viewpoints and values than us. No, we're never going to get anywhere if we do that. But if it's just overtly toxic and it's causing you to be less resilient, then it's a no thank you for me. Because the Harvard Business Press defined resilience as the skill and capacity to be robust under conditions of enormous stress and change. Is that not the definition of being an educator? To have the skill and capacity to be robust under conditions of enormous stress and change. I don't know about you, but I'm in year 16 of teaching, and there's been enormous change since year one. There's been enormous stress over the years, but I want to be resilient. I want to make sure that even if I'm not always in a classroom, because I don't know if I'll always be a classroom teacher, but I do know that education will forever be important to me. But I want to have the resilience to make that choice and not have that choice forced upon me because of some other variable. So shout out to the Harvard Business Press for releasing a journal article compilation book called Resilience that I happened to pick up at an airport, because dang, it was good. So there we have it. Those are four books that I think are definitely read-worthy. Those are four books that I think can change your year in a really positive and proactive way. Those are four books that changed my life in the past calendar year. And I wanted to share those words of wisdoms and those moments that mattered with you, because from the bottom of my heart, you guys matter. If you are taking time out of your personal and professional life to be here listening to this podcast, that matters, and it means so much to have you as a loyal listener. I hope that if you are listening to this on a break, that you are getting rested and restored. I hope that if you are listening to this in the midst of your teaching experiences, that I hope that your students and staff are freaking awesome to you. I just want you to know that being a part of this profession with you continues to make a huge impact on my life, and I'm happy that we're here learning and laughing and growing together. So thank you for listening to this episode, but most importantly, thank you for living this teacher life.